that's good singing. I don't care where you're from. That's just a blessing all the way from on high. And we bless the Lord and thank God for that.
Warm in here.
Don't listen to a preacher, you'll freeze us.
Okay. I didn't know if maybe, you know, last time I tried to adjust it and I nearly froze everybody to death. I never saw you turn blue or I would have stopped and done something else. But anyhow, take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We'll be looking in the book of Psalm chapter 12. And if you're able to stand, we'll just look there, beginning with about verse number 1, since it's only 8 verses long. And our text and major verses will be verse 6 and 7. But look in verse number 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. And who have said with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own, and who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now listen to these two verses here, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord. Let me say that again. The words of the Lord. We're not talking about the words of man. We're not talking about their pride, their arrogancy, their flattery. We're talking about the words, plural, all the words of God, which is the Word of God. The words of the Lord, they're pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now that's where we're at in America. That's where we're at in this godless world we're living in. And you know the reason why, don't you? Somebody didn't believe verse number 6 and verse number 7. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart tonight. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We ask you, Lord, that now you'll do that which will please thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about the words of the Lord. Now, you know, in the day and hour we're living in, you're going to find out there's a lot of people that are gassing off religiously, and they'll make a statement and they'll say, well, you know, in the original, they're lying to you. There are no originals. What make a preacher get up and just tell a lie from a pulpit about what's in the originals when the originals don't exist? They've got worn out a long time ago. Let me say to you that whenever you get saved by the grace of God, God saves you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He makes it forever. Now, if it's not that hard for you to believe that, and I hope you do believe that, I mean, what a miserable state you're in that if you don't know that and don't believe that, listen, God saved me by the grace of God. I didn't deserve it when He gave it to me. I don't deserve it now. I'll not deserve it tomorrow. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that it's very vital that we understand and that we realize and know is that God not only can preserve you and I that are saved, but He's preserved His Word. Why would it be hard for anybody to understand and think, well, I believe in eternal salvation, but you can't believe in God taking care of His Word? Do you know that in these passages that are right here, is that you'll find that, I don't know, the religious but lost-minded world, they hate these two passages. They don't want a book that exalts and magnifies the words of God. They'd like to be able to think somehow or another that we're missing the boat and missing the market. Now, I got to hasten on because I don't want to be here all night. Christmas is coming on, and I'd like to get out real pretty quick. Let me say to you that, if you will, that in these two verses that you're looking at here, these are the verses that God told us and shows us that He has preserved the Word, His words. He's preserved them from this generation forever. In other words, it don't make any difference what anybody else comes up and says. God's got the Word preserved. Now, Billy Graham came on the scene. He made every perversion of the word, every perversion that's out there, made it popular with humanity. You need not tell a Southern Baptist the living Bible's a lie, the good news for modern man's bad news for every man. You need not tell them about all the other perversions that are there, because they've embraced all of them, and Billy put his stamp on it while he was alive here upon the face of this earth. I want to say that I don't say that because I don't like Billy, because I think that he had some good things to say, but there are some things that he did that were more damaging than could be delivered or cause people to be delivered. In this lesson that you're looking at now, is that a lot of time people say, well, you know, I like Billy Graham and it offends me when you say that. Well, if the truth offends you, then I'm sorry. You need to get straightened up, straightened out. I'm not following after Billy. I'm following after the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and about the Bible that he gave us, and his words have been purified and tried and true, and they're proven. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out. Nobody's ever going to ask you and give you trouble. There's been some of you that no doubt have been given trouble because of the fact that you believe the old King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you something. Is that the reason they're giving you trouble, do you ever notice? Nobody ever gives you trouble about not using the NIV. That's the song, that's the Bible they wrote the song about. Who's the biggest clown we know in this family? NIVKEY. See that? That's the NIV is right there in that. And this is the most popular perversion that's out there on the market. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that people are more worried about your Bible version than they are your soul. Now, let me say something about the old KJV, about the old King James Bible. The old King James Bible is pro-Christ. All the other versions that are on the market that came out of Alexandria, Egypt's manuscripts, all the other versions are pro-Catholic. The old KJV is pro-Christ. All the other versions are pro-Catholic. I'll tell you what all the other versions have in common. They all hate the old KJV. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to show you that God promised that he was going to preserve the blessed word of the Lord. And let me tell you, the words of God have been preserved, and they've been purified, and they're preserved from this generation from now on. Now, there's plenty of people that use the KJV, Baptists included. I don't have time. Don't just because somebody uses the KJV, don't just go ahead and let your guard down. There's a lot of Baptists use it and don't believe it. I asked a preacher one time, he said, well, what version are you using? I said, we believe the King James Bible is the blessed word of God, plus nothing or minus nothing. And he said, that's what I use. I said, do you use it or do you believe it? A lot of people using it don't really believe it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that God, in this Bible lesson, tells us about the words of the Lord. In verse number 1, he cries out for help. Help, Lord! The godly man ceases, and the faithful fail from this earth that we're living in. You know why? They got away from the word of the Lord. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, those who believe the words of God, that's one group. I hope you're in that one. And those who'd rather change it to mean something else. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, by the way, do you know God warned us over there in the book of Revelation about adding to or taking away from the Word of God? Yeah, I mean, do you notice he warned that? He said, if you add to it, I'm going to add the plagues of this book to you. If you take away from it, I'm going to take away your part out of the book of life. That's over there in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Now, I want to tell you something right now. You need to get down and fixed in your mind and fixed in your heart is that these other versions, like for instance, when God said don't add to it, you know, the Mormon church adds the Book of Mormons. The Jehovah's Witness, they add their own little version, the New World Translation. And plus, they'll also use the KJV, they say. And so they'll add their own little deal. The Roman Catholic Church added the apocryphal books that were not in the canonization whatsoever. Now, the Bible said, and you better not take away from it. Now, let me tell you right now, and I don't have time to go through all of them, but here's what I do know, is that the NIV, the New American, the International Standard, the New International Version of the Bible, they've eliminated 64,098 words. They've taken Scripture and made footnotes, or they take the footnotes and they make Scripture out of it. I've taken a lot of liberties there that the old scholarly men would not take. The New American Standard Version, that's a popular thing, they've got 36,000 words that have been omitted or that have been changed. Hey, the New King James Bible has over 5,000, has 5,000 plus word changes that are there in that. And I want to say, too, that when you begin to look into it, do you think God was just messing around whenever he said you're not to add to it or take away from it? Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want you to see that in this Bible passage is that in verse number 2, he talked about flattering words, words of vanity. Do you know if you say anything and you believe anything and you stand on anything that doesn't have the foundation of the Bible, it's just flattery or vain belief that you've got. In the lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said these are people with a double heart. And the Bible said that they don't want you telling them what they can and can't believe. In verse 4, our lips are our own. We'll say what we please, when we please, if we please, where we want to please. You know, I've told you way back yonder when, over in the book of Malachi, and it'll tell you about, to where that he reprimanded those prophets because they've omitted the law, or they were partial in the law. It's not what they would say, it's what they would not say. And that's where we're at in the day we live in. In this lesson here, and I know a lot of Baptist preachers, you know, I've been wanting to preach on this and that, but I'm afraid I'd lose half my congregation. I said, then you ain't got a congregation to start out with. I've been dealing with that all the way down through. I wonder why some of these guys, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had a sermon that God burned in my heart and burned in my soul, and I knew it was going to cost me some people. And I don't think about it. I just go right on up, right back, let it rip. You see, in the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, is that let God be true and every man a liar. And I want you to watch in verse number 6 and 7 the words of the Lord. Now, the Bible said in verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. You know who that's talking about? It's talking about the words of the Lord, talking about the Bible, talking about Holy Writ, talking about God's Word. As silver in the tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. In other words, it's been tried and proven. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now keep your eyes on that and look at that for a minute. When the words of the Lord are given, first of all, you need to realize that, oh, these are true words. These are protected words. These are precise words. These are preserved, if you will, please. And God's got it fixed where it can't be tampered with and can't be tainted whatsoever. Jesus over in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want you to watch that in verse 6 and 7, and because if you've got a Bible at your house, I have one at my house. It's not fit for toilet paper, but I use it to refute it. But if you've got an NIV, you can look this up for yourself. You ain't got to take my word for it. And the NIV has changed the words of the Lord, and pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep us. They changed it to us. They changed the word. God's going to do something for us. Take care of us. I got news for you. God will save you and save you forever. But right here, he's talking about the words of the Lord. That ought not to be tampered with, ought not to be added to, taken away from, that it ought not to be messed with. It's the blessed word of the Lord. Why would man want to tamper with that? I'll tell you why. Their lips are their own, they said. We're going to say what we want to hear it said. We don't want something that's going to upset us whatsoever. We're going to get our minds made up. We don't want to be confused with a bunch of things. Look in your Bible, if you will, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1, there's a passage over there that I think would be vital that you and I could look at. I told you earlier that this old blessed book that we hold in our hand, that the old King James Bible translated out of the Textus Receptus, the majority text, so forth and on, other than the Alexandrian manuscripts that pervert the words of the Lord, And there had been nothing ever godly that ever came out of Alexandria, Egypt. And they've got all the other translations come from there. And let me say it again. They've got all the translations got one thing in common. They hate the old King James Bible. Now, I want you to watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I told you the old KJV is pro-Christ. And that all the other versions are pro-Catholic. You know what pro-Catholic is? That means somewhere between you, the Pope, the priest, and whatever, that y'all got it all figured out. And so it's your part and their part and his part, and somewhere or another they work in God's part. Let me tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. He's not working on the buddy plan. And I, if I be lifted up, he said, will draw all men unto me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And let me tell you, besides him, there is none else. All right, look in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved. Now look at that. You see are saved there? That word there that you're looking at, and that phrase are saved, that's not only a present tense word, it's present, past, and future as well. But those of us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, if you've got a New American Standard, it says those of us that are being saved. See, that's the way Catholicism is. They're working their way. If you've got an NIV, you know, is that it says being saved. I'm not being saved, I'm saved. Let me tell you, if you look in the New King James Version, they went that same direction too. People that are being saved, that's a process. Let me tell you, the day I got saved is that it was in a moment. And let me tell you, in an instant, let me tell you, it happened faster than I could twinkle my eye like I'll be leaving here. Make no mistake about it, when God snatched you as a brand from the burning, he saved your soul. Set your feet on the solid rock. Established your going. You've been going ever since for the cause of Christ. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful and I'm grateful. There's a passage, if I could find it, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. And I want you to look at it over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. And the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, about verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, that word study is taken out of the modern versions. The only command God's given us to study the Bible has been taken out. Over there in Psalm chapter number 12, when we read that, the very two passages that God said, I wanted you to know that I have preserved my word for you. It's been tried, it's been proven, it's been preserved. Now, I want to notice another passage, if I could, real quickly. I want to say that it's in 2 Corinthians. And I think that if I look at it, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 2, let's see if it's not there somewhere. And in 2 Corinthians, yes, chapter 2, and about verse number 16. Now, I want you to watch the passage that we're looking at. The Bible said that whenever you approach people, to the one, you're the savior of death unto death. To the other, the savior of life unto life. Now, who is sufficient for these things? In other words, whenever you preach to somebody, you witness to somebody, and you give out the word of the Lord to somebody, you're either a savior of death unto death or either a savior of life unto life. God intends it to save their soul, but if they'll not be saved, then he'll slay them with the same word. All right, verse 17. Now, why in the world does God allow so many of these Bible thumpers and Bible pushers? Why does he allow so much false doctrine? I'll tell you why. See what you're going to do with it. See what I'm going to do with it. Look in verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That means there's more Bible corruptors out there than there are those that are telling the truth. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Now you see the word corrupt there, and that word corrupt there, you may have that margin in your Bible there, but it comes from the word to mean to peddle or to make a trade of. You know why there's so many verses of the Bible out there. You know how much money is involved? They're not going to take them off the shelf. Why, can you imagine how much money in the name of God? Though God's not in it, do you realize at all how much money they're making with all of that business there? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that back over there in our Bible text that we're looking at, is that whenever he talks about the word of the Lord, the words of God, every word that God says is pure. Now, the Bible said, and I want to tell you, that with the word, here's what we got. With the word, you got victory. With the word, you got salvation. With the word, you're born into the family of God. And let me tell you something, is that his seed is incorruptible. But I noticed something else, that those that are without the word, verse number 8 of our text in Psalm 12, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You need to have the word of the Lord, pure words, tried word, proven word. You need to have that in your heart and your soul. Or you can be without the word and live a life of wickedness. That's the world we're living in. There's an old man, he's dead and in heaven now. He said many moons ago and many years ago, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, it's either back to the Bible or back to the jungle. I tell you, there's a lot of restless natives in these cities in the day and hour that we're living in. And the death rattle, old Brother Roloff used to say, he's been in the throat of America for a while. And it's getting where it's choking her pretty down pretty much. And why wouldn't it? And I'm not talking about, listen, we talk about them sorry, good-for-nothing, low-life, God-denying, God-defying Democrats. There are just that many Republicans just like them on the other side. Got them on their programs. I can understand why they wanted to go ahead and blaspheme the name of God, deny the word of the Lord, and go ahead and vote in rights for same-sex marriages. What a goddess wicked reprobatable thing that is. And one of these days, you and I will have some of that come to our family. I'll feel just about it the same way right now as I do, as I will then. Now, I want you to watch it. I want you to see this. You know what happens many times with our kin folks? They like it. Y'all like it whenever I'm rough as a cob. Oh, yeah, boy, let the preacher get them. I'm going to get the preacher on them. But it's not easy being rough as a cob yourself, is it? And if you're not careful, what you'll end up doing is you'll go ahead and cause them to be unable to live a life of sin because they know they've pretty much got you sold on it. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that this blessed old book that I hold in my hand, I'm glad and I believe it from cover to cover. Fact is, I believe the cover. Because you'll find out is that it's got the old KJV written right on it. And let me tell you right now, is not only do I believe it from cover to cover, and I realize, no, I'm not everything I ought to be. And I'm certainly not what I'm going to be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. That I've been saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. It's good to be saved and to know him and the free pardon of sin. The closer the coming of the Lord, you'd better hide this book in your heart. Number one, that you might not sin against God. Number two, that you might teach transgressors his way. See, I've got some kinfolks that they don't have hardly nothing to do at all. In fact, they have nothing to do with me unless they're in a pinch. See? And let me tell you something. They're expecting whenever they're in a pinch for you to not have banked up. Wouldn't that be something, you know? I have people call me every now and again that I know and that I just barely know. Some of them I'm trying to forget and can't because they every now and again, you know. You remember me? Yeah, I was trying to forget you, but I mean, it looks like I'm not going to be able to. No, I'm just kidding about that part, kind of. I want to tell you, wouldn't that be something I'd have said, hey, hold on a minute. I'm down here at the bar, and I'm going to have to step outside. It's too noisy in here. They got that boot scooting going on. I'd like to tell you I was at the Roadhouse, but I'm not. You think that on the other end, if that were true, that they'd be disappointed in me? No, they expect me to stay on the firing line. I'm too close to where I'm headed to back up now. And besides that, if I need to back up and get something straightened out and right, that I took a left or took a right, and when I should have walked straight with God, that's one thing. But I'm talking about, isn't that sad? I went to Bible camp with a preacher, and one time, one of them little old camps of a thing, back whenever I used to waste a lot of my time doing that. And he was in there, and he was, you know, a cut up, crazy. And he was singing a song, taking a shower. You could hear him all over the place there. I was sinking deep in sin. Woo! Of course, all them boys and girls are just laughing, you know, and hilarious. And I thought to myself, you know, he's funny and humorous. And I just considered the source that he's an idiot. But it wasn't nearly as funny to him when he did sink in sin, lost his wife, lost his church, lost his family. See that? There's a lot of people that expected better out of him. And let me tell you something, friend. Our lost family and friends, they have got a right to expect better out of us. I mean, they do. They really do. I need something from God, buddy, and I don't know where to go, but I got some kinfolk that have preached to me over and over again. I think I'll call one of them up and see. Just stay by the stuff. Make no mistake about it. The words of the Lord lead and guide and direct you the right direction. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And Lord, I pray you'd bless every family represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. Be with those on our prayer list. May you meet in each and every case as according to your will and as it pleases thee. We ask you now to save the lost. There no doubt, even in our midst, there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs saving. May you knock upon their heart's door. May you let them know this is a personal thing between you and them. May you give them grace and faith and repentance to believe in you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.